will benefit, but I want to talk to my generation here tonight. Amen. Let's read in Psalms chapter 8. I have a New King James Version, so I'm going to read the screen here tonight so we're all on the same page. It says, O Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. We're going to read through verse 4. Verse 2. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings thou hast ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest instill the enemy and the avenger. Verse 3. When I consider the heavens and the works of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou is mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visit with him? I want to preach to you or talk to you here for just a few minutes under the thought, your Red Sea. I want to talk to you about your Red Sea or why your Red Sea. Amen. So let's pray. Mighty God, we love you. We thank you for your grace, your mercy, your provision. God, I pray, oh God, that tonight you would clear our minds, the clutter of the day, God, everything that we're dealing with, God, all the troubles of life, God. I pray that you would open up our spirits and minister to us, oh God. Don't allow us to leave the way that we came, God, but change something in us, God. Change something in me, God. We want your word, God. We want your plan for our life, oh God. And I pray that you would minister to us, God. We pray it all in the name of Jesus. Everybody said in Jesus' name. You may be seated. Just a moment here. Let's look at Psalms 27, verse 1. And we're going to read verse 1 through 4. If you would bear with me, I've got just a couple more scriptures here. I just want to lay the bedrock or the foundation of what we're going to do here. Psalms 27 and verse 1. Psalm 27 and verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Through war, though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. My God. I want to talk to you guys for just a few minutes, and I need for you to understand that there have been some times in your life where you shouldn't have made it. There have been some situations that you've dealt with where you shouldn't have came out on the other side. There have been some times where you should have overdosed if you're coming from the outside. But somehow, for some reason, God stepped in and saved your life. God stepped in and he intervened. There are some times where you shouldn't have made it through that night encounter. There are some situations that you came against that should have crushed you, the death of a loved one, or just whatever the case may be, rejection by a father or a mother. But what you have to understand is that there is a reason that God has kept you all this time. There, you know, most of the time you didn't deserve the grace. You didn't deserve the mercy. But for some reason, God saw fit to step in right on time and to minister to your situation when you were undeserving. There is a reason that you are here tonight. It's not because of your good looks. Not because of your fat pocketbook, but it's by his grace and by his mercy. There's a reason. And I want you to understand that each and every one of us here, I know I'm in the flood. That's all right. That's okay. Each and every one of you, God has a purpose for your life. God has a specific purpose for your life. That's the reason you made it through all those times where you should have been knocked off. You should have been crushed. You should have been just trampled on. But the reason that you survived is because God has a purpose for your life. This is not coincidence that you're here tonight, but God has something that he needs for you to do. So So when you're in the face of that adversity, when you're squaring it off in the face, you can look at it with confidence and say, I've got a word from God. God's got a promise that I've got to fulfill. So you can't defeat me because God got interest in me. There's a reason. There is a reason that God has a track record in your life. Since the beginning of time, God is everything, and he has done everything in his power to sustain you. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. Give me that real quick. It says, the Lord's not slack concerning his promise. Some would count slackness. It says, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to a place of repentance. I don't know what that does for you. I don't know how that strikes you, but that lets me know that tomorrow, devil, you don't stand a chance, because God said he's going to be there to the end. God has given me a promise that whatever I need, he's going to provide. So I walk with confidence. It doesn't matter what people think about me. It's just not going to make you a lot of friends sometimes. But God is long-suffering towards me. People are trying to achieve where you are right now through other venues and other avenues. And they wind up feeling empty and alone. They're trying to achieve the feeling that you have, trying to achieve what you have and what God's done in your life. But I want you to know, if you didn't know, I'm going to tell you, you won't find this happiness, this success, this peace. You won't find it in drugs or alcohol or sex or anything out there the world has to offer. And if you're here and you know I'm telling the truth, you ought to give them some praise. It simply won't suffice. It won't be enough. You'll find yourself in wanting, lacking what you need. Everything that God has done in your life, there's a reason for it. Everything, every miracle that he did in the Bible, every blinded eye he opened, every lame man that rose and walked, there was a reason. It wasn't just to do another miracle, but what he wanted to show them is that I am big enough to be your salvation. I'm big enough to handle whatever you're facing. That rejection that you feel, God's bigger than that rejection. That loneliness that you feel, I need you to understand that God is bigger than the loneliness. He's bigger than the disappointments. He's bigger than the difficult situation. God is simply bigger. He's bigger than your shortcomings. All the things that make you who you are, God is able to make the difference. And he does, because he's got interest in you, because you are special in his eyes. And he loves you, and he has a plan for your life. And so what do? Here's the thing. The topic here tonight, or my title, is why your Red Seas. We're not going to talk about the Red Sea tonight. The idea is that, why has God performed the miracles in your life that he's performed? And what's your response going to be? How will you respond to the difficult times? David, after his greatest failure, after he sinned with Bathsheba, the judgment was that the baby was going to die. It crushed David. He reconciled with God. But here's what you have to, you can't miss this, is that when the baby died, the Bible says, and David arose, anointed himself, and worshiped God. And one of the greatest tragedies in his life, the Bible says he anointed himself and worshiped. I'm here asking you here tonight, what is your response going to be? There are things that life are going to throw at you. There are going to be times where you fall. But the important thing, the Bible said, the just man falls seven times. What makes him just? Well, what makes him just is that he had the ability and the knowledge to know that all he had to do was get back up. No, Antoine's not giving you a license to sin. But what you need to understand is that you are not going to do what God has called you to do without failing. The cool thing about it is that God has equated your failures into his plan. And so he has set up a system so that you can reconcile with him. Amen. And so David, after his greatest failure, he anointed himself and worshiped. It wasn't the end for him. It could have been. It could have been. But you know what it hinged upon? It hinged upon his response. Job, how are you going to respond when you lose it all? When your own wife turns her back against you? Job's response was, the Lord gives and he takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In a difficult time, in the most difficult time of his life, he decided, God, you are everything to me. The stuff doesn't matter. The popularity doesn't matter. His friends had all forsaken him. It doesn't matter. One thing have I desired, and that will I seek after. See, what has to happen is that we have to make up our minds that he's all we need. That he's going to be everything. Popularity, you can have it. Most of the people I graduated from high school with, I haven't seen since graduation. Popularity is a fleeting thing. If you put your hope in that, you will find yourself wanting, I promise you. Popularity, throw it out the window. Worldly success. A great man said, had I known that there was nothing at the top of this ladder, I never would have climbed it. You won't find it there, Josh. You won't find it in those places. But when you make up your mind that he's all, it affects your response to everything that happens to you. And so whether you fall or life comes against you or the devil just has a grudge with you, it doesn't matter. My response is the same. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I know my life falling apart, but blessed be the name of the Lord. How can you say that? It's because he has interest in me and he is long-suffering towards me. So I walk with confidence. My eyes and my face is set like a flint because there's nothing that can shake me. No, I'm not being cocky. I'm being confident in one thing have I desired, and that will I seek after. Nothing, nothing, nothing can shake me because he is long-suffering towards me. Is this okay tonight? Clap your hands to the Lord if you're excited about what God's doing in your life. Oh, come on, somebody. Give him some worship. I consider Abraham. I was at a conference a couple of years ago, and there's a preacher. Nobody, you probably don't know him. His name's Cody Marks. And he's preaching a message. And he says in the message something that really stuck with me. And he talked about Abraham. And he talked about how he questioned God about the name change of Abraham. When God changed his name, it was on the heels of the greatest failure that Abraham had ever been involved in. Why? But if you go back and read, you understand that for 13 years, God hadn't said one word to Abraham. For 13 years, he hadn't spoken a word to him. Not one prophecy, not one dream, not one word, nothing for 13 years. You know what Abraham's response was? He was faithful all 13 years. God can't give you the precious things until he knows what you're going to do when it seems like you can't hear that still, small voice. You see, the world would have you to believe that religion or relationship with God or the church, the kingdom of God, is about emotion and feel-goodism and, you know, all these types of things. You know, it's just, well, I don't feel anything. It doesn't matter at all. It's about obedience and a process. You see, I've learned in my short 22 years that everything is a process. especially with the kingdom of God. The person that you know that's backslidden didn't backslide overnight, but it was a process. Likewise, the person that you know that is fired up about God didn't happen overnight. It's a process. And so what you have to do is you have to make sure that you are in the right process. You have to make sure that the decisions that you make, remember, we go back to one thing have I desired and that will I seek after. And so he is the focal point of what I do. And so because he's the one thing that I desire and that I seek after, he influences my everyday decisions. I don't go to the club because God's not there, because it's not pleasing to God. And remember, I've already stated that one thing have I desired and that will I seek after. I don't go to the ball games. Well, come on, somebody. I don't do what the world does because I'm not seeking after that. But God has interest in me. So one thing have I desired, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house. Not of the Bulls, not of the Red Sox, or not of the Lakers, not in the house of Kobe Bryant, but in the house of the Lord. And so that is the one thing that I seek after. And so I've got to get my priorities together and allow it to affect my everyday decisions. I don't do the things I don't do because one thing have I desired, and that will I seek after. Is that the case here tonight for somebody? Are you just fired up about what God's doing? Not interested in what the world has to offer? Not interested in the alternative? Not interested in those things that are not fulfilling? Not interested in what the world has put on that silver platter for you? It gets better. I'm sorry. I promise it will. Stick with me. Joseph had a dream like so many of you have here tonight. God's spoken words to a ton of individuals here tonight. And you're here tonight, and it's very evident that there is a call on your life, or that God has spoken some things into your life. And right now you feel like, well, I'm just young, I'm just a youth, and so I take that call casually. But what you need to understand is that at a young age, Joseph had a dream, and it affected the events of his life. At every juncture in the story of Joseph, he could have turned his back and gave up. I have to say, if my brother sold me into slavery, that'd be pretty discouraging. Likewise, if I overcame that, well, it never happened because I'm a lot bigger than he is. But if it ever happened and I got through that somehow, it would crush me again to be put in jail for something I didn't do. That's a place where you can jump off. That's an easy place. You can easily justify that. But there was something in Joseph. There was something inside of him. There was a drive inside of him. It almost goes back to what Stephen talked about Wednesday night. There was something inside of him. It motivated him. And there was a reason that he stuck it out. It's because he believed that the dream was alive. He believed that the dream was still good. He believed that the dream was real. And that God's promise to him wasn't just empty words and something that was afar off and 15, 20 years from now. But he allowed it to affect his everyday. And because of it, he stumbled right into the promise of God. Why? Because he stayed in the process. Young people, you are going to make mistakes. You're going to drop the ball. There are going to be some times where you're going to be discouraged. But if you'll stay in the process, when the doors open to the church, be here. When the piano strikes up, worship like there is no tomorrow. It is not just something that we do, but it is warfare. I worship God with all my might because I understand that it is the thing that helps sustain me. Because every morning when I wake up, there's an adversary that gets up and puts on his shoes. But I can't fight him with my little 9mm. I have to fight him with worship. The battle is not won with carnal things. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And so I fight that battle in worship. I fight that battle in prayer. I fight that battle. Come on. We've got to be prayer warriors. We've got to get in the word. We've got to do all these things because those are the things that sustain us. Those are the things that help keep the dream alive. Even when we mess up, David, when he messed up, he anointed himself and worshiped. David was the greatest, arguably the greatest king Israel ever had. And it was because of his response. So anybody glad that God is long-suffering towards you? Anybody glad to know that God is dedicated to your deliverance? Anybody excited to know that when the devil starts to get up in your face, to know that you can walk with confidence because God has interest in you? Is anybody excited to know that tomorrow has nothing that you can't handle because God walks into your tomorrow with you? Anybody excited to know that God's your ever-present help? I'm glad about it. Because here's what happens. Let's look at Isaiah 59 and 19. It says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. And so he comes in, but the reason you can walk with confidence, guys, I'm not giving you empty promises. But the reason that you can walk with confidence is because the Bible says that when the enemy comes in like a flood, when you've got your test going on and the guy's aggravating you and your phone bill's late or whatever the case may be, all the things that life throws at you at a teenager, you've got exams and finals and all kinds of things that the world's pulling at you. It rushes in like a flood. The Bible says that the Lord will lift up a standard against him. The Lord will lift up a standard against him. And so you don't have to worry. You don't have to wonder, God, what's going to happen? I don't know what's going to happen. I'm worried. You don't have to live there. We are the people of the Most High God. And we are building a house, built it long ago. And so I walk into Monday morning with sheer confidence. I walk into Tuesday with sheer confidence because he lives in me. And greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. I've got the Holy Ghost and God's on my side. So devil, bring it on. Somebody get an attitude about sin. Somebody get an attitude about the devil getting up in your stuff. Somebody get an attitude about those things because God will lift up a standard against it. Let's look at Psalms 30 and 5. Or Psalms 30, verse 1 through 5. And I'm wrapping up here. Got it. I'll exhort thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast made my foes to rejoice over me. Verse 2. O Lord, thou hast brought me up. Thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. So God's keeping me. He's sustaining me. Verse 4. It says, sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks to the remembrance of his holiness. Verse 5. Here's where it is. Here's what you have to remember. When it gets tough, Justin. Okay? We're talking about gauging your response in the things that come against you. Okay? Whether you drop the ball or life just comes against you like a flood. We're talking about your response and what you are going to do when those things come against you. And the reason that you can respond rejoicing, and the reason that you can respond with great joy, and the reason that you can dance when your world's caving in, the reason that you can dance and get excited about what God's doing when your husband's about to leave you, the reason you can get excited about those things when it seems like nobody likes you at school, and when it seems like your parents are rejecting you, the reason that you can have joy in those times, for his anger endureth but a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night. There is a maybe in the weeping. There's a maybe in the heartache. There's a maybe in the difficult time. There is a maybe in the trying situations. Help me, Jessica. The Bible says, but joy cometh in the morning. There's no maybe in the joy. There's no maybe in the victory. There's no maybe in the fact that God is going to overcome. Somebody ought to get excited about this. God is going to show up right on time. It doesn't matter what the case is. It doesn't matter what's going on. But what you have to understand, young people, is that we are the people of God. And so when life comes against me, I can respond with confidence. And so I'm here tonight asking you, knowing all of this, how will you respond? Anybody here dealing with a difficult situation? Anybody here got a sick loved one? Anybody here got something that's pressing against you? Anybody have a sense of loneliness? Anybody got a sense of disappointment? I'm here to tell you that God is bigger than your past. God's bigger than your inabilities. He is bigger than whatever you're facing. And so our response in the face of adversity is victory. It's glorious. I'm going to live dancing because God is faithful. He's got a track record in my life. He's everything. You see, God's end is sure. His word will stand. And so when you fall, when you're going through, you simply need to put on Christ. And I know they may say, oh, why is she worshiping like that? I know what she did. She's acting all self-righteous and stuff. What in the world is wrong with her? No. It's called putting on Christ. And I'm going to put on Christ because I've got to make it. Because what God wants to do in my life, God, his end is sure. And so it hinges upon my will. And so in response to everything that happens, I've got to worship. I've got to pray more than I ever have before. I've got to get deeper in what he has for me. My response is, God, one thing have I desired, and that will I seek after. Because he is my everything. And so they may say, hey, you're acting all self-righteous, but you really do need to get an attitude. Why should a man such as I come down? I'm not going to compromise. Girls and guys, look at your neighbor and say, why should such a man or girl as I come down? Get an attitude about your peer group, this youth group. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm not going to let you fall. But we're going to make it to the promise that God's given us. Come on, somebody. We're going to make it. God's going to do it. There is greatness in your life. But it hinges upon your response. He's faithful. He won't ever let you down. I can tell you that because he's never let me down. Chase, he won't ever let you down. So you tell me. Go ahead and list the reasons why you can't do it. There are none. Because God is long-suffering towards us. That means that God is committed to me finding a place of deliverance. So Zach, tell me the reasons why you can't. There are none. Tell me the reasons. Go ahead. We've got time. There are no reasons. There are no reasons because he's long suffering towards us. Sanithia, go ahead. We've got time. List the reasons. Why can't you make it? Why can't you do it? There are no reasons. You have any reasons? There are no reasons. The only thing that can destroy your testimony is what you allow to destroy your testimony. The things that you allow in are the only things that can destroy you. So there is absolutely no reason that we don't have the greatest youth group to ever walk the face of the earth. And we're going to turn this city absolutely upside down. Devil, look out, because here we come. They're going to say that these are they that have turned their world upside down. Birmingham, here we come. There's no reason we can't take this city. There's no reason your loved ones can't be saved. There's no reason you can't keep the victory. There's no reason. There's no reason. There's no reason. Come on down to this altar. Let's get excited about what God's doing. Oh, we need to dance with victory, because God has given us a promise.
And magnify His name.
Come on and worship the Lord.
Worship the Lord. And praise His holy name. Worship the Lord.
Come on, somebody. Ah, you're dancing because nothing can shake you. You're dancing because nothing can prevail against you. You're dancing because God's given you the victory.
Come on and worship.
Worship the Lord. And praise His holy name.
Come on and worship the Lord.
Worship the Lord.
Somebody to worship with and pray with right now. Come on, link up with somebody. Unity's got to be at the forefront of what we're doing and who we are. So you find somebody and you pray for them and worship with them. What I want you to do right now is I want you to find one person, two if necessary. I want you to find one person. I want you to declare. We talked about here tonight. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Now what I want you to do is I want you to pray victory over that person. Right now, I want you to pray against anything coming against that person. I want you to claim victory by the authority of the Holy Ghost that you have. I want you to claim victory over that person's life. Come on, we're gonna make it. We're gonna make it.
For all you hungry folks, we got pizza next door. If not, now in a few minutes. But one announcement real quick. The money for Peak, the down payment, $50, is due this Sunday night. So I want to remind y'all of that. Like I said, we got revival with Brother Booker May the 3rd. So y'all invite everybody you can. But Lord bless you.
It's going to be called Ignite.
Wait, I text.
It'll be called Ignite. It's just
cool.
Our theme won't be
to
Ignite.
Where'd you take them?
Oh, Jill brought a